presença do Lord. I need a mic. I have a strong voice, but I still need a mic, okay? Well, praise the Lord. We're just glad everybody's here. And if you could take your seats, I know we're having a very great social time there in the back. Ladies, please. How about the new Renaissance Quartet? Weren't they great? Miss Deja and Mr. Justin Champlain, we just appreciate them being here and filling in for us. And Noah, you know, Noah stays kind of hidden in the background like he doesn't do anything. Very quiet and shy, but get him on a set of drums or a keyboard, and he's just dynamite. And of course, Josh Ford, who works with us in the back. It's my privilege this morning to welcome our speaker for the day. I've known Pastor Joe Tabron for I don't know how many years. It's been a long time. just a great friend of mine from San Francisco. He is the pastor of missions and evangelism at San Francisco Christian Center. Has worked tirelessly. And usually when I try to get a hold of him, it's very difficult because he is busy doing something. We have, or Christian Center, San Francisco Christian Center has missions all over the world. One of our main ones is in Haiti, where our pastor, Pastor Julian, was about 6 or 7 months ago. But he's just a great man of God who's, you know, dedicating his time to evangelize to people who are really in need. If you can read his bio on the program. But I really appreciate him and his beautiful wife, Gail, coming out today and just ministering to us and, you know, touching our lives. So without further ado, I would like to welcome to the platform Pastor Joe Tabron. Let's give him a hand of applause.
Isn't God good? Come on, that was so weak and anemic. Where is your strength? Isn't God good? I love the presence that I sense and feel in this place. And the presence is an indication of the temperature that the pastor has set in this place. I had to pull out my handkerchief because as you all were doing praise and worship, I just got caught up and the tears began to flow. And I turned to my wife and I says, "It's a sweet spirit here. So you ought to give your pastor a real hand because somebody is on their knees praying." Now, before we get started, now that you got that little pity cake out of the way, you know, that little patty cake thing, let's give Jesus a real hand. Come on, put them together. Yeah. Praise Him. Hallelujah. I love your pastor already. He's been to Haiti. I've been there 10 times, traveled all over the world. And can I just be myself? I am one of them boys from around the way. I am what you call a redeemed hood rat, Amos. Yes, I am. Thanks be to God who plucked me out and placed me in His marvelous grace. Wanna just give you all a great hug from San Francisco Christian Center, where my pastor is Roderick Gittens, and so I'm just going to hug you, all of you, and just shake you a little bit and say that's from my home in San Francisco called San Francisco Christian Center. Amen? Amen. And then my lovely wife who sits here on the front with me, partners in ministry. I really do have a partner in ministry. We're in numerous homes in the city of San Francisco. We started a blessed-to-blessed ministry where we're actually building relationships in the city where people are coming from prison, transitioning back into the world, trying to acclimate and get their kids back, and we're right there with them. In fact, one of the families, the couples, I'm going to be marrying after counseling, and they're going to commit themselves to Jesus covenant in terms of what marriage looks like. Isn't that great? Yes, God is good. And then to Uncle Butch is what we call, I don't know what y'all call him down here. Can I just tell some history, Brother Amos and Brother Cooper, and where y'all at? Some of the San Francisco Christian Center. Would y'all please stand? Where you at? Yeah. Amen. It's been over 30 years. And Auntie, we love you. I know 30 years, you say, wow, no, I'm still young. And what y'all laughing at? And my wife tells me, and I just choose a believer, you know, you look good. And I says, okay, all right. So I'm riding on that no matter how many years. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's look to the Lord in prayer, and I'm not going to be before you long. Wow, I sense God's presence. Lord, have mercy. Father, we do thank you for who you are. What a privilege, what an honor to be able to stand before your people. Speak, Lord. Anoint God. Give wisdom and insight and clarity, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You all are familiar with some of those mayhem commercials that come on that are trying to sell you Allstate insurance, huh? Pretty funny, isn't it? There's one particular story about mayhem is in the back and the husband is driving because mayhem is representing the wife and she's pregnant. And he says in the back, we were taught to be calm, but at this point, we're choosing to panic. And his legs are on the back seat spread, and he's having contractions. Ain't that something? And all of a sudden, there's a yellow light, and after the yellow light, he says, got it! And my man guns it, and when he guns it, he hits another vehicle. And then at the end, there's this balloon that's pink, and he pops it, and water comes out. Meaning, my man, that the water bag has broken. It's funny. But in reality, mayhem happens to all of us. The unexpected, what you did not choose, even for that matter, what you did not plan for. The unexpected mayhem comes and knocks at our door. And it does not deliver a package that tells us to be prepared. It just happens. Have you ever had anything just happen? Let me introduce you to a story in 2 Samuel, the 4th chapter, and then we're going to jump over to the 9th chapter. I'm going to highlight some principles about this text, all right? 4th chapter. When Saul's son heard that Abner had died in Hebron, he lost heart. And all Israel was trouble. Skipping down to number four. Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son who was lame in his feet. He was 5 years old when the news about Saul and Jonathan came from Jezreel, and his nurse took him up and fled. And it happened. Turn to somebody and say, and it happened. As she made haste to flee, that he fell, and the Living Bible says that he was dropped. And he became, say, and he became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. Skipping over to the ninth verse, the ninth chapter. And I'm going to jump around. And it says, now David said, I love this. Is there still anyone who is left in the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? There was a servant of the house of Saul whose name was Ziba. So when the boy had called him to David, the king said to him, are you Ziba? He said, at your service. Then the king said, is there not still someone of the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God? Ziba said to the king, there is still a son, hallelujah, of Jonathan who is lame in his feet. So the king said to him, where is he? And Ziba said to the king, indeed, he is in the house of Michar, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar. Then King David sent and brought him out of the house of Michar, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, had come to David, he fell on his face, prostrated himself. Then David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, here is your servant. So David said to him, do not fear. I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan's sake and for your father's sake, and will restore to you all the land of Saul, your grandfather, and you shall eat bread at my table. I love this. Continually. Lord, have mercy. Have you ever had anything to happen unexpectedly? The nurse was designed to protect this five-year-old. And in her haste to flee, she dropped a five-year-old. And in the context, the inference is that his feet were fractured. 5 years old, fractured. And no one attended to the pain of this boy's drop. Have you ever been dropped and no one attended to your unexpected mayhem? Have you ever had any pain when life has dropped you with great pain and no one showed up to help mitigate the pain? Can I give you a few definitions of what I call drops in life? Can I do that? A drop looks like an unexpected divorce. You didn't plan on it. Wasn't in the cards, wasn't in the future. But it happened. A drop. A drop looks like an unexpected foreclosure. You didn't plan on it. Bought that house, worked arduously, sun up to sun down. But it happened. A drop. Drops look like a betrayal in a friendship. Y'all were ace coon boons, ride or die. And all of a sudden, betrayal dropped. It happened. It dropped, looks like a diagnosis of cancer. Went for a routine checkup. All of a sudden, the diagnosis comes back. We found something. It happened. A drop. Drop is when your teenage daughter, despite what you have trained them in the Word of God, comes back and says, I am with a child. That's a drop. And can I be a little personal here, if I might? We have a wonderful 27-year-old daughter. We call her Keisha. Talented. Spoiled by her mother. Just for the record, my man. Got to make that clear. You understand. Sent her off to college. One night I woke up about 2:30 in the morning because of this dream that I had. In the dream, I saw my baby girl. We only have one. And she was nose to nose with me, and she was weeping uncontrollably. Didn't wake up the wife, and I said to her the next morning, something is wrong. And I called down to Atlanta Clark University, where she was attending school. And being evasive, she didn't tell me anything. Because we prayed for her, God was in my ear, you understand. When she came home, she said, Daddy, got something I need to share with you. We were out at a club. I was attracted to this young man. We started dating. And in the dating, we went to his house. And Daddy, and she broke down and wept. And she said, he forced himself on me. And I experienced, for the first time, date rape. She said, Daddy, I'm so sorry. I looked at my baby girl as she wept and as her first experience of intimacy was defined and labeled as a drop in a violation. And I grabbed her with everything a daddy could grab her with. And I held her. But from the perspective of a nurturing and loving father who has prayed consistently every day for his baby girl, I'm nurturing her with one arm. But I'm mad as all get up. I don't want her to see just how much rage I have. And can I be perfectly honest with you? Y'all gave me permission to be transparent. You shouldn't have done that. I never knew, as a pastor, Amos, Brother Cooper, Sister Cooper, that I could literally have murder in my heart. But as a daddy, all my daddy came out of me. And in a moment's time, and that news hit in my ears, I fell from grace and hit revenge. I had been dropped. And the definition of my daddiness changed from that moment on. I would love to say to you that I rebound right away, but I would be lying to you. I nurtured her as a child and watched her grow up. I was so involved with her until I even learned to do hair. I even went shopping with her. Knew her size, knew her colors, knew everything about her because I wanted her to know the definition of what a man is supposed to be. And they robbed my baby girl of her innocence. I am one of those boys, listen to me, from around the way, from the hood, Bayview Hunters Point. And I wanted to get strapped, can I be honest? And I wanted to board an airplane and go handle business. And she read my spirit. And she said this to me, never forget it. She said, Daddy, it happened because I made some bad choices. Had I not made the choice to put myself in that situation, I would not have had that fall, that drop. So she says, I've got to take some ownership. And I says, Daddy's here. But really, Uncle Butch, I really didn't know how to be daddy in that moment because somebody dropped my baby. Have you ever been dropped? Have you ever had an experience that created pain, unusual pain, that you can't even articulate or define? I woke up one morning feeling good. The next morning, I got hatred running through my veins. You ever been dropped? And here we find the same man, Mephibosheth, had been dropped by Lot through no fault of his own. And nobody tends to him. And it doesn't indicate how many years that passed, but all of a sudden, we find him in a place called Lodabar. Lodabar is where your boy, this dude here, that used to gangbang, sell drugs, steal cars. This dude, y'all didn't know who you had in your church, did you? Said, well, we need to pray, don't we? We serve a redeeming God. Hallelujah. This boy wanted to take somebody else's life. And it sent me from the place of grace to a lonely place in Lodabar. I couldn't even communicate with my wife. Lodabar is a sad place to be, but that's often what happens. When you fall, pain happens. You then are thrust into a lonely place called depression, isolation, and pain called Lodabar. My Lodabar didn't happen over the span of a month. I wish it did. It didn't happen over the span of 2 months. I wish it did. My Lodabar, as a father with hatred and anger and saying, God, why would you let this drop happened to me after all I've done. This Lodabar stayed with me, Uncle, for a good while. And I had to deal with the reality that my royalty had now created a limp in my graceful royal walk. Have you ever had your royalty meet with the pain of the unexpected so severe until it redefines your walk? My walk as a pastor was not full of grace. In fact, every dude that looked at me sideways, I started to project. They had nothing to do with my drop. But when you've had a drop, you end up projecting and spilling over and hurting other people. And I would walk with this limp. The sad truth is that I had royalty in me because I was a child of the king, but I did not walk like a child of the king. I walked like somebody that was stuck in a place called Lodabar. What's amazing about this place is that when you decide you want to come out, it's not that easy, because you become acclimated and conditioned. And your mind, you want to come out. You want to be this graceful pastor. But you have been nursing this pain. And it hinders your royalty. And I have to admit to you, congregation, that I have prayed for people with a limp. I have preached with a limp. You can have the royalty in you, but the royalty does not dominate your character. But the pain of Lodabar exacts its control and takes territory over your very region, called your space of influence. Are you there? Lodabar. I prayed, called out to God, and said, Lord, take this revenge out of my heart. Take this pain out of my heart. Take this stuff away from me. But I had lived with the limp for so long until there would have to be some real work for me to find my royalty. But thanks be to God, because God is a God that will come and fetch you out of a place called Lodabar. Didn't I say your boy could not come up out of there? I couldn't. But thanks be to God, because he showed up, came and fetched me. In the text, it states that he went, meaning God, as a metaphor. David represents the voice of God. He says this: is there anyone in the house of Jonathan that I might show my kindness to? The man says, yeah, we have this boy. Doesn't even name him by his name. Ain't that something? He said, this boy who's the son of Jonathan, who was lame. I have discovered that when you have lame, crippled, dislocated, disjointed situations that you wear it so well until people define you by your pain. You're not defined by your name. You're defined by your pain. And so they didn't say he's a son of royalty. They say he's that boy that is crippled. But I love God's perspective, because God does not say, leave him there. God says this, where is he? Do you know that when you got royalty in you, notwithstanding that you have this limp that resulted from what we call a fall, that because you got royalty in you, that royalty will come and find you. And so royalty comes and finds him in a place and fetches him out. Hallelujah. Says, bring him back home where he belongs. Isn't it sad to have Lodabar, the definition of your existence? It looks strange for royalty to be hanging out with folks that do not mirror your real calling. Are you with me? So God says, go get him. Bring him here. And they went and fetched my man, Brother Cooper, from that dead place. And I love what the text says. I don't know how he did it, but when he saw the king with all of this authority, I don't know how, he probably just hobbled over. I don't know how he did it, but the text says that when he saw King David, he fell down on his face. No matter what your experience is and the pain that you experience, the closer you get to the king, the closer you bridge the gap between your pain and his presence. Your identity starts to go back to the original DNA of what you were called to be. And everybody would call him lame. But check this out. I love it in the text. It said, King David said, Mephibosheth, which really means an advocate of the Lord. They changed it to represent shamefulness. Mephibosheth, don't you love it when God calls your name? Mephibosheth, don't you love it when he puts a handle on your real identity? Mephibosheth, he does not say, hey, lameness, come here, but he calls him by his original core identity. My man falls down and he learns to worship his God. And he did not hear lameness. But he heard his name for the first time in years. Nobody can call you like God calls you. Is there anybody in this house who God is calling by your name and not by your experience? Is there anybody in this place where God is calling you by your royalty and not by the mistakes and the choices that you have made that put you in a drop situation? Is there anybody here that have did some things that they are ashamed of, because that's what happens when we do things outside of the will of God? We run into hiding like Adam did. But God is calling your name. Kathy, Randy, Shirley, Victor. Is he calling your name? I love the fact that the royalty within us is a thing that causes us to bounce back from what we call the fall of life. Can I come down here? Okay, you know what? My man said, don't hurt yourself. You know, I really can take issue with that. But I'm not. Give me that. You remember the Super Bowl? Don't date yourself now. Don't raise your hand. But when we were kids, when we'd bounce the ball, it came right back up. Huh? And what we learned is that the harder we bounced it, the higher it went. And my man, I would take that thing and I would hit it so hard and watch it explode and wait for it to come down. And I'd be sitting there and my friend would say, I bet I can bounce mine higher than yours. I says, try it. And we have a bouncing war. Can I tell you that the drops in your life are not designed for you to stay earthbound? You just missed that. The drops in your life are not designed for you to be earthbound. But don't you know that God knew what was going to happen to my daughter before I knew it? My daughter today has a business. She's bouncing back. My daughter today is working on her master's degree. She's bouncing back. My daughter today calls me up and she said this. I just got to brag on myself. Daddy, there's no one like you. In that vein, man. But let God bounce you back from the drops that will happen. If you live long enough, you are going to have some falls in life. But remember, the royalty in you is designed for you to bounce back. Now, let me say this to you. What I found out, baby girl, is that the harder the drop, the deeper the pain, the more excruciating the experience, the greater the comeback. And I want you to know that there is no drop in life that will keep you earthbound. But I want you to realize this, that you got the bounce back effect in you because you got royalty all in you. So when you fall, don't go in the loader bar. Bounce back. Bounce back. Bounce back. Keep bouncing back. Keep bouncing back. You have bounce back in you, baby. And you don't even know it. So when you hit the ground, and you will live long enough, but understand this pain is designed for my comeback. And see, my comeback as a daddy made me more graceful than ever before. Here's what God taught me. He says, I want you now to father other girls. I got about 15 girls that call me daddy because, listen to this, I allowed my drop to take me to a new place. And I'm suggesting to you that you will have a drop. But don't stay there. With all the royalty that is flowing through your veins, but allow the royalty through prayer, reading of his word, attending church, having fellowship. Allow the royalty that is in your blood to have its perfect work. So that Pam, despite the misfortunes, you and I learn to bounce back. People see you when you fall, but God wants them to see you when you come up. Because everybody knows you by your mistakes, but nobody knows you by your come up. Redefine your situation. Show people that you can earn it. Make a comeback. Here's the trip. That this bounce, watch it. Watch it. When I bounce this, what are you going to do? Everybody, including your haters, going to go like this. Look at him bounce back. Look at her make a comeback. We didn't know they had that in them. That is the testimony that you can take a hit and keep on licking. Take your drop because it's part of life. But let people see you on the way up. As the Jefferson says, we're coming on up. Let your come up be a work of God's grace. Give God some praise in the house. Yeah. Hallelujah. If you were like me, you've had a drop. I had a drop when my daddy promised me that he would come and see me. Uncle Butch, I waited for him with great anticipation, sitting on my porch because he promised he would come get me. My daddy never showed up. Great disappointment. Then I went and found him at the age of 22, got on an airplane and said, let me find out who this rascal is. Got on a plane, saw him, and waited on him. When I finally met him, my father was a bum. The daddy that birthed me into life was a bum. Talk about a drop. I didn't know what to do, but he was my daddy. Then he says, I'm going to be there. And he ghosted out. He disappeared and I never saw him again. Drop. But I took that drop and made good on being a daddy. And everybody is going. Let people see you come back.